Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're talking business with the Dean of the Business School at UNR, Greg Mosier, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Does your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Dean Mosier. He's the dean of the UNR Business School. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's great to be here, Sam.
All right, so let's start with the economy, because to me, it appears that the economy is flourishing. Unemployment, certainly in Nevada, is down. Nationwide, it's down. But I talk to a lot of business investors, people who are heavy hitters, and they are saying, we're looking out 6 months, we're looking out maybe a year, but we're not going beyond that because we're concerned still that there's enough weakness in the economy that we could potentially see another recession. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's clear that there is a recovery taking place. You can look at most of the economic data, both nationally and in Nevada, that indicate that there is a recovery taking place. I think that you'll see, though, it's not the type of a robust economy that is returning us to pre-recession levels. And I think that creates a little bit of uncertainty, and particularly in the investor community, wondering about what direction things might go over time. And so people have a tendency to always want things to return to some sort of historical precedent because they remember the good old days from, let's say, 10 years ago about how things might be. But with the changing nature of the global economy and the changing influences of different types of countries upon that economy, I think that uncertainty is going to be more a part of what we have to learn to live with in the short term.
All right. Well, so does that mean that there's a lot of money going to sit on the side for the next couple of years?
I don't know whether it'll necessarily sit on the side for a couple of years. I think it's going to be one of those things where there'll be toes in the water, so to speak, where investors are going to make the decision they have to put their money somewhere. At some point, you get tired of just sitting on the sidelines and not being part of what's going on in that economy. And so I think it's going to be just be a little bit slower going as people try to feel their way about what this new global economy looks like over the next 5 years.
Okay, so what do you think? You know, I mean, for example, if the Fed were actually to raise interest rates, even a little, would that be a signal that things were stabilizing, that the Fed felt it was okay to take their foot off the accelerator?
I think some people would take that as that. Of course, it all depends upon the individual and what their investment portfolio looks like and what it is that pushes their buttons in terms of things that they're looking for. There are some current projections. There's a lot of people who are predicting that there is going to be an incremental increase in interest rates that may take place around the September timeframe. It'll be interesting to see if that actually does happen at that point in time. And I think for many investors, that may be a message that there's a thought that things are getting a little more on solid ground and people will jump in. But others, you know, will take that as a sign that, you know, maybe it's time to even hunker down more. Again, I think it's going to be a period of longer-term uncertainty.
When you look at companies like Apple that have, what, $90
yeah.
billion dollars in cash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times that has to do with the nature of what the company is, right? Particularly in the technology sector. You have companies that get into that and they like to still maintain a role as a high-tech startup, entrepreneurial type of a company. And as soon as you start moving off into putting that cash out and putting it out into shareholder dividends and spending it on other things, all of a sudden it takes away your image so much as being still in that startup kind of a phase about what you're doing. And so I think it has to do with the culture and the personality of a lot of those companies about what it is they're trying to do rather than purely a financial play about, oh, we got to hold on to this cash just in case.
Well, they're about to become literally a $1 trillion company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do you make
yeah.
of that?
Yeah, well, it gives them a lot of resources to go off into new types of ventures. You know, you hear lots of conjecture about what that might be for Apple. You hear them talking about automobiles as being something that they might want to be moving into. You know, the Apple Watch, of course, is something that people are watching closely and about how that integrates into other types of technology that are out there.
My daughter and my son-in-law bought them today.
Uh-huh.
They yeah. both bought one.
Uh-huh.
Not the $17,000 one, but I think it's a sign that the technology is definitely taking off. You watch mm-hmm. Charlie Rose, and there he is with mm-hmm. the Apple Watch right in front of you.
Uh-huh. And I think it means that really what you have companies looking at is a war chest, as it were, to continue the enhancement of the technology sector that they're in, and realizing that these things do change very quickly in terms of the types of technology that consumers want to adopt or businesses want to adopt. And so having that cash available to make those kinds of plays is important to a lot of these companies, and they like to hold on to it for that reason.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The head of Fiat, you know, made an offer to buy General Motors
mm-hmm.
To consolidate the mm-hmm. two companies. Do you see a time as these technology companies like Apple and Google are looking at the automotive industry that they might end up buying one of these auto manufacturers, because they could certainly do it?
Yeah, they certainly could. They certainly would have the cash available to do all those kind of things. I mean, the question is it really fit with the type of corporate culture that those companies have in terms of trying to acquire those and then to merge those cultures together? You're taking a very much an older style of an industry in terms of the classic automobile manufacturing model and moving into a high-tech sector. And sometimes it's may not be worth the culture clash. It may be easier just to build your own.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, as you're seeing here in Nevada, you know, the highest of tech companies, you know, with Tesla
mm-hmm.
You know, Elon Musk also being part of Solar
mm-hmm.
City.
Mm-hmm.
They're building batteries for cars.
Right.
Panasonic has joined in with them to integrate in terms of raising the finances for that. At some point, maybe it does start to make sense.
Well, it could, but you see it coming from
By the way, can I just throw in one other thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my auto repair guy the other day,
uh-huh.
and he was telling me that, you know, if you're not up in the cloud as an auto repair company,
uh-huh.
you can't get the information anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all is. You don't get a manual. You don't get to call up and get parts. You have to get the information, the updates from the cloud, because that car is a computer.
Yeah, and I think you see that taking place in the automotive manufacturing sector. You see companies like Daimler Chrysler, or Daimler is making movement into more smart cars and self-driving cars, as Google is trying to do the same thing coming from the other side. And you will see a kind of like a moving together of those things, because everybody understands that's the nature of where the manufacturing, the technology is going to take us. Now, does that make business sense in terms of a merger between those technology companies and those automobile manufacturers? That's going to come down to more of the numbers as they pencil them out and they make that decision. Is it better to build our own or to acquire something?
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with Dean Greg Mosier of the UNR Business School right after this timeout.
Cowboys aren't born, they're made. Through hard work, long days,
learning the ropes. Welcome to the Reno Rodeo. The wildest, richest rodeo in the West, the Reno Rodeo. Get your tickets today.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
Looking for help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at NVEnergy.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the dean of the UNR Business School, Greg Mosier. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, you know, the potential interaction or non-interaction of computer companies and tech companies mm-hmm. with traditional institutions. One of the biggest problems that you would think of would be trying to deal with the union situation with these automakers. Mm-hmm. When you look at this country, you know, apart from Nevada, unions are not growing. They're going mm-hmm. backwards. Mm-hmm. So do you see at some point in time that you'll see something like the GM Saturn model, where they were trying to compete with Japanese. That didn't really work out so well in the end. But do you see some new version of that perhaps coming along that takes out that factor and puts in the ability to pencil it out?
Well, I don't think necessarily organized labor is, you know, the whole issue that surrounds what takes place in a lot of these manufacturing facilities that are there. A lot of it has to do with the culture of innovation and the culture of change, you know, what the product cycles are and how that all works out. And I didn't want to leave the impression that, the $90 billion was not a significant amount of money in terms of Apple. And it's just that with that amount of money, they literally do have the opportunity to evaluate many opportunities about what they could do with regard to either creating their own new types of technology, acquiring it through mergers and acquisitions with other existing companies. And I do think that at some point, and they're reaching that point quickly, that where shareholders are starting to ask the question, you know, we want to know what your, you need to tell us what your plan is, because that's a lot of money that they're sitting on.
Right. And let's talk about mergers and acquisitions. Charta taking Time Warner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's likely to go through.
Uh-huh.
It's lowering the amount of competition. We're seeing more and more large companies who are in this kind of field buying up the smaller partners
yeah.
and getting them involved. Is this in the end good, though, for the consumer?
Well, I think most of what motivates those companies on doing that is, believe it or not, they're running a little bit on fear because they're not sure what the next cycle of innovation and technology is going to be either. And so they look at this thing, you know, in the technology side, particularly among things like the cable television and those things, it's the content that they're very interested in about how do we create enough of this content that's out there that is what really the back end of just our delivery mechanism is. And but that's what it's all about, is how do we get that content out there. And so in many ways, I think they understand that these cycles come along and there could be a disruptive innovation that comes along on the technology side that puts them out of business over the next 20 years. And so they're not necessarily doing it from a position always of just, oh, power, and we're going to come in and we're going to try to capture this market in this way. They're doing it from trying to guess where is this whole thing moving.
Well, it's interesting. John Malone is the driving force behind Charter. And he's been around a long, long time in the cable TV world, going back to TCI. And it's interesting to him to see him through Liberty Media becoming, you know, the kingmaker again. I wanted to bring up something that, that just struck me as so weird was what's happening at IGT, GTEC, and with the state at this point in time, which is where they're finally being given permission to come up with games that allow people to compete with each other, new innovative type games for casinos. I've been talking about this for probably 15 years. Why do you think that the gaming machine manufacturers have been so slow to realize that the rest of the world are playing with these games, the Xboxes and all the rest of it, and they've been sitting here with bingo machines, essentially, which is what most of these machines are.
Yeah, well, a lot of that has to do with the regulatory environment that exists, particularly in the gaming sector. You know, you just can't go out in there and do whatever you want to do.
Right, but, I mean, you could come up with the ideas and go, hey, Gaming Control Board, we've got this really brilliant plan. You know, you go through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure it matches regulations, and if it doesn't, well, you know, well, let's figure out how to change regulations, which they've just done, but it took forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Wheel of Fortune is a great game, but come on.
Yeah, I think we would probably be underestimating them if we didn't think that they already had some of these things in the works coming along. I mean, you know, you're always a product cycle. You're projecting out way into the future in terms of what your possible innovations are going to be. And I speculate that a lot of these things have been in the works for a long time on an R&D side. And it's just making the decision about when the right regulatory environment comes along or the right economic environment comes along that it's time to really launch them. And sometimes that has to do with, you know, a merger, an acquisition will push you over the edge and say, now it's time to do this as we take on a bigger global footprint. Sometimes it'll be a change in a law that will target that. But companies are pretty savvy about trying to stay out in front of all these things. And a lot of times it's our, as consumers, we don't realize how far out in front they are.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but I am going to say that when you look at the gaming technology that kids have been playing for a long, long time, it seems to have been a long while for these guys to catch up.
Right.
Let's take another break. We'll be back more with the dean of the business school after this time out.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You know, everybody's been talking about the Tesla effect. Here's our reality. Construction is booming. Roads are under construction. And the job creation and our market, it's booming. Our stable tax base is growing. And thank you, Governor Sandoval and all of the legislators, for delivering on this promise. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
At Grocery Outlet, they sell the brands you love.
The brands you love.
The brands you know and love.
See the name brand, natural foods and organics.
At prices up to 60% less than you'd spend at those big name grocery stores.
Hey!
Right now at Grocery Outlet, 2 pounds of Welch's red or green seedless grapes are only $2.99.
Things that I know
and love.
Grocery Outlet, Bargain Market.
Watch Lawyers, Guns, and Money with criminal defense attorney David Houston every Sunday afternoon at 4:30 on KRNV News 4. This Sunday, executive director of the Nevada Youth Empowerment Project, Monica Dupe, talks about the growing population of homeless young adults in Reno. Misha Mack also joins the program to talk about how she's turned her life around to become a Nevada foster care all-star. Lawyers, Guns, and Money focuses on issues and people that make a difference in your life. Join criminal defense attorney David Houston this Sunday afternoon at 4:30 here on KRNV News 4.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Greg Mosier. He's the dean of the UNR Business School. So we started out the program talking about, you know, where the country is, where the state is. Uh-huh. It looks like Las Vegas is definitely on a roll in terms of construction.
Right.
The Genting project. We're going to see the Crown Melco project go up on the New Frontier site. Over $2 billion being invested in the convention center down there. Uh-huh. But when you look at the industry and you take away the glamorous things like the boxing matches and the big festivals, there's still a weakness during the week in Las Vegas, although they're doing very, very well on the weekends.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a really interesting. And right now, Nevada seems to be mirroring the country a little bit in terms of, a recovery, but a weak recovery. One of the things I think is the most interesting number is that gaming revenues are still down about 15% from pre-recession numbers in terms of across the state. And that's at the same time that numbers of visitors are up.
Right, but, I'll give you the own analogy. You know, you can buy whiskey everywhere, so why do you go to a place? Well, you go there because you like the bartender, the cocktail, which is whatever it is you might like.
Yeah.
You can gamble in 48 out of the 50 states, and so gambling is no longer the preeminent thing. If you know, you can make, they're looking at, between 30 and 35% of gross revenue is now gaming, and that number will probably continue to slide. At the same time, if you went to the Rock in Rio Festival, you were paying $70 for a large pizza.
Uh-huh. Exactly. No, you're absolutely on target. And so they're doing the logical things in terms of what the product line is, in terms of services and what's being provided. It's just that as we sit there and look at what the traditional mechanism for revenues in the state in terms of our GDP, it's shifting away from what people were always used to before. And it's a new paradigm we're going to have to get used to. Now, at the same time, you know, we're looking at probably in 2015, GDP of the state's going to probably a growth rate in the economy of around 2.5%, which is going to be roughly on
close
par.
To healthy.
Yeah, with what the country is. But it's still below what pre-recession was, which was more about 4%. And so it's part of what we'd talked about earlier. It's that new reality that, you know, you don't, when you talk about recovery, it's not recovery to the good old days. It's recovery to a new phase about how you're going to be doing things. And so adjustment to that's going to be highly critical.
But do you ever know you're in the good times?
Well, you always think they're going to get better, right?
Right.
I mean, and that's the history of bubbles, right? You see bubbles. Actually, I've taught a class in the history of bubbles before. You go back to tulip bubbles in Holland and the South Seas bubble in terms of investment in the South Seas enterprises. And there have been all these bubbles through history. And everybody always thinks it's going to ride out forever. And it's the nature of, I think, human conduct is that we hope for the best on those things and then sometimes get disappointed.
And I think that we're also surprised at times. I mean, for example, if you were to go back 2 years and look forward, would you have said Tesla's coming? You know, the number one project that everybody in the business world was after for their state, and Nevada lands it?
Well, you know, that's very interesting because the Tesla thing is, I wouldn't necessarily personally have said it was going to be Tesla. But, you know, my impression of Northern Nevada has always been that, you know, we're part of a larger economic region that includes all of Northern California. And we're in the neighborhood as it is. And you could see something was going to happen. Now, was it going to be Tesla or was it going to be some other company? But the awareness of what the positives are of Northern Nevada and the opportunities to have business support functions in the area of finance or information systems and things like that and pay high wages and have lower cost housing for your employees and still close proximity to companies that are in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. That's just pretty obvious from looking at the map. You can get out the map and you say, look, this is a logical place that as a company we can put operations.
Yeah, but we've been logical for a long time. I mean, I moved to Nevada in 1978, and for Southern and Northern Nevada, we were the logical place for warehousing and distribution.
Uh-huh.
And yet, during the recession, I mean, it was going backwards, not going forwards. So, I mean, I think a lot of things have gelled.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it has taken a long time. I agree with that. And actually, it took much longer than I projected it would. I thought it was going to happen much sooner than it did. And then that nasty recession came along and kind of blew everything up. But maybe we're on the road.
It's always twice as long and twice as expensive.
Uh-huh.
You know,
exactly.
That's my basic rule of thumb for being in business.
Uh-huh.
But as you look at the state, even with rural Nevada, Pumpkin Hollow for Yerington, the dried milk business in Fallon, the ranching and farming across the state. I mean, these are all doing very well, despite the drought.
Yeah, they're doing very well in those industry sectors. I think the big problem in rural Nevada that we're confronting right now is the nature of gold prices is starting to have some impact, particularly in eastern Nevada. And that's just a cyclic kind of a boom-bust thing that comes with the magnitude of what takes place in those mining operations. And so it just, again, emphasizes the need for economic diversity and trying to expand the nature of those companies that we have across the state.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's a great goal. And I think we're finally achieving it to a great degree in northern Nevada. I think that they need to invest in infrastructure in southern Nevada so that when a Tesla-type company comes along, they can look at it and go, hey, they've got everything we need.
Yeah. I think the infrastructure question is really for the whole state. We're trying to get there on that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to provide the educational resources that the employers are going to need. You have to have a highly skilled workforce that they want to have in place.
You know what Lance Gilman says?
What's that?
If you bring the industry, the workers will come. And that's where we have to leave it. We'll leave it with Lance's words.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Enjoy
My
the conversation.
Pleasure.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
This is the ticket that gets you into the game, that gets you into an unforgettable world of food and fun and family and friends. This is Ace Ball. This is everything memories are made of. For tickets, visit RenoAces.com, where memories start at just $8. Your mouth does a lot of things for you every single day, so make sure you take absolute care of it. At Absolute Dental, our friendly staff will give your smile the absolute care it deserves, like free teeth whitenings, $1,500 off braces, all your wisdom teeth removed for just $1,299, and lots more. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable. Give your mouth the absolute care it deserves. Give us a call or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
I really needed the cash now, and I was getting regular payments from an insurance company, so I called Peachtree.
And I helped Matt get a lump sum of cash.
Thanks, Jenny.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
Turn your structured settlement or annuity payments into the cash you need now. Call Peachtree.
I didn't want to max out my credit cards or take out a loan, so I called Peachtree.
I told Monique it was her money. I just helped her get it sooner.
And now I'm debt-free, thanks to Jim.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
If you're getting regular payments, don't go into debt. Call Peachtree now to get your money.
I needed money to start a business, but I didn't want to sell all my payments. I knew Peachtree could help.
I got Tom a lump sum of cash, and he still had payments coming in.
Thanks, Kelly.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
If you need money, call Peachtree and turn your settlement into cash.
We're Peachtree people. It's what we do.
Call now for a free quote. Call 1-866-596-8797.
This is the game that thrills the crowd, that creates the energy, that fuels the fun that you and your team will never forget. This is Ace Ball. This is everything memories are made of. For tickets, visit RenoAces.com, where memories start at just $8.
On our next broadcast, we'll talk technology with Ira Victor of Data Clone Labs. We'll see you on the next broadcast.